Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers. Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering. I am AJ Murray. Dan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Very well.
That's good.
Andy, how are you, sir?
I'm feeling good. I'm excited for our guest.
Me too. Don't give it away. Don't give it away yet. Aaron, what's up, man?
What's up, dog? I just noticed that whenever I introduce Dan, he gives me the Mr. Towel. But when you do it, he's very cordial. And I don't know if I should be offended by that.
I think I was taken back just a little bit because he went straight to me. So
yeah,
I was
right.
I need an adult to do the dramatic for effect pause. You know, because we use time bolt now, which cuts out all of the spaces.
Oh crap!
So I can pause as long as I want, but that's not going to get picked up in the podcast.
Yeah. So there you go.
Just trying to cut straight to the chase. Before we cut straight to the chase and introduce our guest this evening, we have some wins to celebrate. Congratulations to NetDev Chu for passing his DevNet Associate.
Justin. Yeah, Justin. 2020. So he failed it 7 days ago, February 1st, and you know, we all know how the time window works, right? Oh, boom, yeah. Week later, they let you take it, and not only did he jump back on the horse, he posted his score, which is an 885. So that's nothing to bat an eye at either, right? So he came back with a vengeance and put that thing in the grave.
Killed it.
Nice.
Love it. Killed it.
Nice work. Congratulations,
that's
Justin.
That's awesome.
Yeah, congrats,
snuck,
man.
Snuck right
job.
In there. That's still part of the DevNet class of 2020. So
heck yeah.
Not much time left. Right in through the window he did. Anyway, super excited. Have a wonderful guest this evening. You could say he's one of our own because while he's not an active participant in the podcast as a co-host, he does work in the background for the Art of Network Engineering blog. He is the mastermind behind the Faces of the Journey. Mm. Everybody welcome Timbertino.
Is that Italian? Is it Sicilian?
Yes.
What? Okay, perfect. Sweet.
Yes. Okay. I am very thrilled and honored to be here, fellas. Thank you very much for the invite. I've been a listener since episode one. No big deal.
Okay.
So,
right. Street cred.
So I think it's safe to say I'm fanboying a little bit right now.
Snap.
You can expect this stupid looking grin to be on my face probably the entire time.
That's okay. Andy has the same look.
I was just gonna say. Yeah. I'm still fanboying
so,
over here.
So since I'm being honest, I won't say that I lied to you guys when you invited me to be on the show, but I may have strategically left out the fact that this is my first ever podcast appearance. Like, seriously, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with my hands right now.
Yeah, nothing.
So,
nothing. Jazz
so
hands.
That, okay.
There
so
you
that
go.
Being said, I need to know which of the four of you handles a bulk of the editing, because I need to know where my formal apology needs to get sent when we wrap this up.
Yeah.
Mr. Laptef, noted.
Yeah, it's
noted.
All, it's all good, brother. This is going to be easy peasy.
Yeah,
Don't worry, he'll be testing you later. It's all right.
It's not like one of those Nat Geo shows where like you're a drug kingpin and we have to hide your voice and make you sound like it's really, really deep. You know what I mean? It ain't like
that.
You
want us to.
We want
you to show off, Tim. We want everybody to see your bright, shining face. So if you didn't know, by the way, that brings us to a good point. I think that if you didn't know we had videos up on YouTube, guess what? Sometimes we do. So you should probably go check that out. And maybe if you're lucky enough, you might see Tim's face on there. And you might see him doing spirit fingers slash jazz hands.
Heck yeah.
And I told you, you see, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm rambling here already, and I haven't even actually said hello yet. So will you guys humor me?
Yeah.
I've got something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Oh, go for it, man. So, oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, go for it.
Hang on. I'm going to try not to screw this up. I got to get real close to the mic, though.
Okay.
Howdy. That was creepy.
See, Tim, you said you're leaving that to you.
I'm leaving that to you.
So,
all right, that's it. You guys can have your show back.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because clearly it was almost like it was meant to be because Dan conveniently left that out this time and just rolled out the red carpet for you to do that. So, by all means,
they planned it backstage in the green room.
All right, Tim. Tim, who are you, man? AJ gave you a great explanation. Just give us your version. Like, where do you live? What do you do?
So, again, my name's Tim Bertino. I am currently a senior network engineer in Omaha, Nebraska, in the healthcare industry. And I'm kind of, I don't know that I want to drop the U word, but I guess I'm kind of that unicorn like Mr. Richards. I have been with the same company for over 10 years now.
It's
the first spot I landed after getting out of school, and I've been there ever since.
Dang. I just want to say that's the nicest thing anybody said to me on this podcast. So. Called me a unicorn.
We're all special, right? In our own little ways. Some of us just a little bit more.
No. Don't take this away from me. he called me the unicorn.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure that was a throwback to the first episode. I think somebody dropped that. I don't remember which one.
Yep. We definitely did. No, it is rare. I mean, there's something to be said about that. Certainly not negative by any means. Of course, we love to tease Dan about it, but, you know, because I hate to say Southern thing, but, you know, it's like a loyalty thing. Like, the values are just different, right? You're in the Midwest. I mean, Omaha's a great city. But it still has, like, more values than I would say, like, a place where, like, me or somebody like Andy might live, where everything's just fast-paced and people are, like, looking for the next thing at the next moment, right? So,
Right,
you know, and God forbid you guys have to go to the next employer, too, because they're going to look at your resume and go, holy crap, this guy really must want to be here because he was coming from a place. I mean, I think it's nothing but good stuff. We just like to tease Dan, that's all. But
agreed.
No, it's all good.
So what did you go to school for, then?
That's a funny story. So
it usually is. That's why we ask it.
The reason I decided to try IT is because I would have been an absolute liability as a building architect. And I can explain. So the high school I went to had a computer aided drafting program, an AutoCAD kind of program. So I did that I got into it my sophomore year, and I rode through it to my senior year, and I hit a point my senior year where I just stepped back and go, holy crap, I am no good at this. And I'm about to get out of high school. And I'm kind of an indoor cat. So I wanted to find something that I liked the tech behind AutoCAD and all that. So I wanted to go to school, but I didn't know anything. So Andy, you've brought this up multiple times that when people don't know, what do they choose? They choose computer science, right? So the college I went to offered computer science, and they also offered computer information systems. But if you chose computer information systems, you had to pick a concentration. And they had like e-commerce and web development and networking, but I didn't know what any of that was. So I'm like, well, I'll just pick computer science. It's got the name in it, computer, and I don't have to pick anything else. So I went that route, and I had the same culture shock as you did, Andy, is I got into the programming classes and the math. I failed calculus. That almost pushed me graduating my senior year. I had to take some extra credits.
My man.
To pick it up. But I did stick with it. I stuck with computer science, but I ended up falling in love with networking. They had the Cisco Networking Academy there, so it just clicked. It gelled with me. So I stuck with that and decided that that's what I wanted to be when I grew up.
So you went through NetAcad in college?
Yeah.
Wow.
So just to let you know, I think we've just become best friends because before I went into IT, I was thinking about doing like building architect and whatnot.
Right on.
So that's look, really weird that you
said
that.
I don't want to throw another wrench in the spokes, but so was I, because Tim, that story is identical to mine in high school.
No way.
We had AutoCAD. I mean, it was 1999, right? We just got it. And the year before, so they did it every other year. That's how little they had, like, occupancy. So, but the off year would be like my junior year, and that was like just a legit on the board with the T square, the number 3 pencils. That's right, folks. Okay. Number 3 pencils exist. And we actually had to draw like an entire like 20-page like house plan, like front elevation.
Wow.
So, you know, that just every plan wow. you could possibly think of. But you got to make up the house, so it was cool. But dude, I think there's something to be said about that, right? So it's like did you play with Legos a lot when you were a kid?
Yeah,
Lincoln Logs, did. Yeah.
Yeah, the same. We're all in the same boat. All right, that's cool. So yeah, it was a hell of a backup plan, by the way.
Did you get your CCNA in college?
No. Towards the end, when I was about to graduate, I wanted to give it a shot. And so that was in 2009, 2010. And I wasn't ready for it, but I tried to take just the composite exam, because back then you could have taken IC&D1, IC&D2.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I took the composite exam, just failed it miserably. But I did have an incredible opportunity in college. It was a small school. It's growing, though. And the IT department, the help desk and desktop support, was supported by almost 100% part-time workers, and they were all students, full-time students. So there was one full-time employee on the help desk and desktop support, and the rest were students. So I got an opportunity to join that team, and I did that for about 3.5 years, and that was absolutely huge for me. Wow. To get just IT experience, desktops, printers, all that, and got an introduction into networking too. So that was huge.
So how long did you do that for? Was that during your schooling there, or?
Yeah, I think I started my second semester of freshman year, and I did it through graduation.
Okay. So what is that, like 2 years, 3 years?
It was a 4-year school.
4-year. Okay. Gotcha.
So you popped out of school with a degree, just not the CCNA, but you had the degree and the now like almost general IT generalist experience too, right? So even though while you were in school you found a passion for networking, you were also doing what everybody is going to call the crap, because anytime you touch a printer, that's crap. We all know it. Crap. Thank God you found the passion for networking, because nobody wants to deal with printers and fax machines for the rest of their life, or get stuck with VoIP. So you graduated college. What degree did you have when you graduated college?
I did finish with a bachelor's in computer science.
Oh, good for you, man. Good for you.
And experience.
So wait.
And
so
experience.
You actually experience. Are programming then, right?
I tried really hard, Dan.
Yeah.
He studied.
I did.
What
I
a tried. Concept.
I think the biggest difficulty for me with programming concepts was that I felt that I was going to have to dedicate a lot of time to it. And I just wasn't doing that. I mean, that's something that needs repetition. You need that constantly going through your brain. And I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing it justice. So I was able to focus on networking, take all the networking classes, and still graduate with that CS degree. I got really fortunate too, because with the job that I got right out of school, it was like I graduated on a Saturday and I started there the following Monday. So
wow.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
It, very, very fortunate.
Nice. That's you great. Didn't even want to like take a week off and I don't know.
maybe
go to the beach. Dan, earmuffs. Maybe go to the beach and enjoy yourself. No?
I think they were ready for me to start before I was able to. So,
wow. When did you apply to this place then?
It actually took a while. I actually almost forgot that I had applied. It had been multiple months. Wow. And one thing, I actually did the thing that recruiters and counselors will tell you to do, is when you apply for something, what do? You follow up.
You call them, baby. You get that
resume at the top of the pile. And I got a call kind of out of the blue, at least a couple months later, and went ahead and interviewed for it. And it worked out.
Nice. I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally transit, like, you put in your 2 weeks notice at school. You know, like graduating or not, I got a job on Monday, suckers. You know,
was that a similar job, Tim? Kind of like a journalist,
yeah.
Help desk.
So I really wanted to get into network infrastructure right out of school, but I obviously didn't have the real world experience, and it was, I'll say, much easier, or maybe not much easier, but there were a lot more opportunities out there for. End user computing specialist.
Did you get to touch?
Yeah, that's.
I'm sorry. Did you get to touch any networking in that school job that you had?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I got into some Cisco switches. Some, in fact, they were at the time they were running Cat OS. It was even before iOS. So yeah, some big 6500 chassis. So I got a little bit of experience, but really not enough.
Was it enough to get
to transition directly?
And you did not have your CCNA at the time either. Right?
No.
Okay.
So that begs the question, what made you want to get it then? I mean, you graduated with a CS degree, and then, because like, I'm looking at like the feedback loop, right? Like, so anytime you do something, are you getting punished or rewarded, right? Like, what makes you keep going? And for you, it's like, I felt like you just kept getting rewarded. So why go back and punish yourself by getting a CCNA?
So I wanted a network admin, network engineer position, and I felt that was the quickest way to get me in that role. I had a director at the time that he was very hands-on with the employees. He'd reach out to you, ask you know, what your aspirations were, and he would work with you.
Wow.
So he asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, well, I want to get into networking. And he basically asked, well, what are you doing to get there? And I said, well, I'm working on my CCNA. I'm doing the ICND1 right now. And he said, well, come tell me when you got it and we'll talk. And I ended up getting I passed the ICND1, so I got the CCENT, and they ended up expanding the network team. And I applied and got on.
Wow.
So nice. Did that so the second he said, because you'd failed the composite at one point, right? So I mean,
yeah,
you'd already kind of been through the experience, but like when he said, hey, come talk to me when you get the CCNA, did that light a fire under your ass or
oh, were
you
huge. Just like,
yeah.
Oh, huge. See,
so what's the time gap between him saying that and you getting it? If you say it's less than a week, I'm yeah. gonna just kick you off the podcast.
I think I was already preparing for it, but I can't remember. I'll tell you, I have had throughout my career, I have had an on again, off again relationship with IT network certifications, because I feel like I pour my heart and soul into it, and when failure hits, man, that hits me like a ton of bricks. I feel like I'm getting better at it. Yeah. You know, me and certifications, we're on speaking terms again. I think if it's, I think in Facebook terms, it's called the relationship status is it's complicated. But
dude,
but we're working right now. I'm working toward Encore right now, and it's going well. I will say, I don't want to get too far off the beaten path, but I will say, the recommendation from this podcast, I think you directly, Aaron, were the first person that really shone the light for me, was the space repetition concept and the Anki flashcards. That has been night and day for me. I thank you so much for that. It's been incredible.
Okay, so let's stop right there, because why don't you then, since you're doing it and you're implementing it, why don't you share with everybody that's listening how you're implementing it and maybe just kind of like a rough outline? Because I'm going somewhere with this, because so how I set up my Anki cards is much different than how AJ does, right? Or Andy or even Dan. So I want to hear like how you do it. I get questioned all the time like, hey, should I put these all in one deck? Should I separate it by, you know what I mean? So walk us through your strategy.
So I had to pull up my notepad. I have a study plan, which is something I did not have in 2020.
Oh, whoa, back up then. What is the study plan? Share.
I am kicking myself for not, because I spent a lot of time in 2020 going through Encore material. And I really, other than doing some really good labs, I feel like I don't have a lot to show for it, because I would hit topics and I'd go on to the next thing, and it may be a month since I looked at the last topic, and I wasn't really doing any kind of review, which is where the flashcards come in. So I've got a 7-step program here.
Oh boy, is the first step denial? Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
So hey, that's it's funny. It's funny you say that though, because the on off part of like the studying too with the cards and you know, how do you put those together with the study plan? They kind of go hand in hand. The study plan is gonna hopefully is gonna keep you from drifting and having that quote unquote breakup that you keep having. But mm-hmm. I think another part of it, like at least from my perspective, when you're studying like that and you're studying for something and you don't have a plan, your brain is going to find the easiest subject, right? In no way, shape, or form are you going to pick up the IPv6 section and just read it for fun, right? You're probably going to go to something cool, right? Especially in Encore. There's lots of cool, shiny stuff in Encore, right? Like BGP. Everybody wants to know how that works, right? I mean, it's the entire internet. So, like, teach me more. And then you're like, do I really need to go dive into IPv? You know what I mean? Just I'm picking on IPv, but you get the idea. So having a study plan is huge. So share the study plan and the cards, how you in conjunction, you know, Finkel is Einhorn together, how and where and how.
Definitely. So what I'll start with is from the flashcard concept, I do break it up in decks by either official cert guide chapters or topics, at least. I'll at least group together like topics. So what I'm doing right now is I'm reviewing each OCG chapter at a time, and I'll create flashcards on the way. And the flashcards that I'm creating are a combination of the Did I Know This Already's, which, Aaron, you have brought that up multiple times. They're huge.
Yep.
And then the key topics, key terms, anything else I deem necessary. And then I'll do the key topic review that the book tells you to do. And mm-hmm. then I'll shift to key terms for that chapter, create cards off of that. And then the command reference as well, creating cards. And then I'm fortunate enough, work has been so kind to get us CBT Nuggets as well as Cisco On Demand learning subscriptions. Wow. So I hit those topics that I did in the OCG and do the cards and all that good stuff. And then at the end, I do labs as necessary. So I start every study session with Anki, no matter what day. I start with that. I get my cards out of the way. And going.
So do you go, so because Anki, so if you haven't for some strange reason downloaded Anki yet, the way it works is it basically tells you when you should be reviewing those cards. So as an example, if I opened it up today and the spaced repetition formula was telling me that I don't need to look at those for another 5 days, it's not going to show me those cards. So that's what's so great about it. So every time you open it up and you have multiple subjects like that, what ends up happening is that you really don't know what card, like you could have one card from one deck, 10 cards from another deck. But if you think about it and put them all together, like you're also interlacing at that point too, interleaving, right? Like, and you're like putting pieces of the puzzle together in the background. But also, I love that strategy because starting with the Anki cards, because they're cards that you've reviewed before, because you're about to go through the material and create new cards. So you're reviewing material that you already had before. So obviously in there somewhere, at least one or two of those are going to be like super easy, quick W's for you, right? And you're like, hell yeah, I'm feeling this. Because like that gets your confidence up to like dive into something that maybe you didn't want to dive into before, just kind of like as like a deep sigh of relief before you just jump into it. Like, hey, I know how to learn. Here's the validation for that. Let me just jump into some new stuff now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you nailed it. And another thing that I took from you, Aaron, was one thing you said is when you're putting those cards together, make it difficult on yourself.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. Anki platform is set up in a way where building the cards and doing all that and going through it is an easy process.
Yep.
So that part's not hard. But if you make the content, make yourself think and talk through it, that's been huge for me.
Yeah. No, it's like one of those things where if you see someone, tell them about it, because they do not, I don't care if you're in private school or public school, I don't care what country you went to school in, they don't teach you how to learn. It should be step one, right? Teach you how to learn and then learn. It seems fundamental, I know, but and nevertheless, so you clearly you didn't do this for the CCNA studies, right? So have you noticed a difference now? Like it's hard to gauge, right? Because there's more stuff in Encore, obviously it's professional level, but I don't know, they're kind of the same in that, you know, it's new and it's fresh and that type of thing. So What differences have you started noticing now that you have like a plan and a strategy?
Now that I have a plan, I feel much more motivated to get up and do it, and it's easier now.
Why is that? Another.
Because I'm not just going through content. I felt like I got to the point in 2020 when I was quote studying, but I was really just going through the motions.
Reading,
because I knew I had to read the chapter, I knew I had to watch the videos, but like I said, I left it at that. I wasn't going back. I wasn't doing anything else. So, I mean, that's been a pretty big difference. And content wise, yeah, there's a lot more in depth stuff. So I actually took, I got the CCNA twice. So I got it. I finished it the first time. Yeah. In 2013. And then it expired in 2016. So I got it again in 2018.
Oh, wow.
So, and now I'm working on Encore.
So. Yeah. So this time you decided to just kind of get back through it. So I've noticed that too. It's like people often will learn their lesson when the cert expires. They're like, not doing that again.
Oh, yeah.
It's easier just to ride slowly year after year, right? Like you don't have to get a cert every year. Just be working towards something and then you just never forget, right? And again, Anki's huge for that because you could just leave those decks in there forever. And go back to him whenever you feel like it. Like even at work, you're like, I could just brush up. Or like, let's say you were going to go interview at a new place. It's like, you know, they're going to ask you, oh, what layer of the LSI bottle does this fall into? It's like, oh, well, well, Chuck, I'll say that it's, that's layer zero because I'm out of here. But yeah, I think the cards thing is, did you pay for the $20 for the lifetime Anki thing, or are you still using the free version?
I'm still using the free version.
See, there you go, folks. Barrier to entry, zero. Must have. Actually, you don't even need a cell phone because you can download the desktop client, which I highly recommend.
That's what I do is I create the cards on the desktop and then
I typically
pace back and forth. I got to get my steps in sometime during the day. So I usually walk when I'm actually doing the review, and that's on my phone. So it's so awesome. It syncs great. I've never had an issue.
You have an Android?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's free on Android, which is pretty sweet.
Heck yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Interesting. So do you use anything else like, or have you used anything else like the Boson, like the NetSim or?
I'm getting ready to invest in that because I have gotten
highly
ridiculously good feedback.
Highly recommend.
Awesome. All right. I'm on it.
We have a link on our website. Have you been to our website before? I mean, at this point, we might as well just rename it to timbertino.com. So you can keep the logo, jerk.
Hey, you guys are the ones letting me practice whatever nonsense writing I'm doing on your website.
Well, hold up now, because that's a good point. So we've recently, and you're to blame for this now. You're to blame for this because I got on a rant like 4 or 5 months ago where I convinced half the chat room to start a blog, right? Like,
you scared the crap out of me when you did that.
Yeah, sorry,
by the
bro.
Way.
But hey, check this out. It's all because of you. And
like I laid low for a while after that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Why?
Maybe we will change your voice on here.
Tim's in a witness protection program now.
Yeah. Was I creating too much work for you? People were trying to get tips and tricks from you, or
no? Just you had a video chat with a bunch of guys, and you were just. I mean, it was all positive reinforcement.
Yeah,
but man, I was like, this guy is serious. If I stay quiet, he might not yell at me.
This was the one where he was yelling at him, saying, "Is this amateur hour?"
Yeah. What is that picture on your LinkedIn? What are you doing?
Oh, I remember.
Look, I was, you know, part of that. Like, obviously, we're making it sound a lot worse than it was. But like, the tone was.
No,
I
was not.
Shut up. Shut up, Dan. I was trying to help. I was trying to help, and I was like, you know, it was more of like a big brother approach, which is not good because I do that to all my friends too. And I've actually had conversations with them about this. Like, I like to big brother them a lot. I'm like, you know what you should be doing, but it's because my dad did that my entire life, and so like I'm just a victim of him doing whatever that he did, and now I do it. So hey, look at me. So,
did you see the results though?
Right, but no, it was all good. But that's what was so cool about it, because like I had a feeling everybody that got in that chat room, they wanted me to do that to them. You know what I mean?
Because I agree.
They were on top of them. They were tell a foot away from the mountain. Yeah, and they were ready to pull the trigger. They just didn't know what to do, and they didn't have the reinforcement. You know, because it's a strange thing to do, even to explain to like your normal friends or your family, like, hey, I'm going to start this website. And they're like, oh, cool. What are you going to talk about? Like, oh, you're going to be a blogger. Like, you know, it's like the first thing they think of is like, you know, some Instagram influencer, which, I mean, clearly none of us are. Dan doesn't even have an Instagram, I don't think. he's under the radar. But point being, like, hey, we're not like that. But I think what people think of when they hear stuff like that is instantly like, oh yeah, you're probably trying to sell me something or you're doing something. But like, no, we're believe it or not, folks, genuinely trying to help people out there. I know, shocker. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. No, we're not getting anything from it either. Like this podcast, we just love doing it. So we're just going to keep doing it. We don't need to get paid. But yeah, I was in there like just really kind of doing stuff that maybe I would have hoped somebody had done to me in that situation. If I was in that situation and need that. Yeah. Just like the last little nudge. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, more like they had done all the work. They knew what they were going to do. Nobody was like, geez, what should I write about? Everybody was literally like, hey, I want to write about this. I want to write about this. I want to write about this. I want to write this. I mean, it was a great, like just impromptu meeting, but yeah, it was a lot of stuff. Like I was kind of just flying all over the place. Like, hey, your picture needs to look like this, or you know, I'm just trying to help.
Hey, it worked.
It's pretty amazing how far the Discord servers come, and
yeah,
how many people there, and just
1,000. We broke 1,000.
Yeah, and the fact that these kind of things happen. Tim, how did you get involved with the Discord server? Because
yeah, like, how did you do that?
For me, I was in the study group, and there was a Slack, and then were you kind of in that group of?
He was
Slack
definitely an early adopter.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Okay.
So with that, one of the reasons I got involved so early, or what I thought was early, was because of your guys' enthusiasm. So I listened to the first episode. I wish I knew who retweeted it, because I didn't know any of you guys at the time.
Oh, cool.
And somebody retweeted that there was this podcast starting and what it was called. And I thought it was a cool name. I'm going to check it out. So I threw it in my feed and I listened to the first episode, and I went on the website and I emailed the Artem Network Engineering email address. I'm pretty sure it was AJ. AJ replied within an hour.
Of course.
And I'm like, whoa, this is cool. All right, I'll join this thing.
That might have been our first. Yeah, that might have been our first email, right?
AJ has no spam folder. He's answering everything. Yeah. That guy who is asking for $5,000 so he can bail the prints out and you're going to get $1 million. We're talking to him, too. We're talking.
So that's cool to hear. The podcast pulled you in. That's
oh yeah, okay. And it was so cool. So that's a big thing that drew me in, is that AJ was all over it. Yeah, come check it out. Here's the link. And I got onto the Discord server, and within like a week, I was having conversations with AJ and Aaron, and probably not even 2 weeks into it, AJ's asking if I'll write stuff on the website. I'm like, dude, have you ever seen my writing? But you know, it ended up working out. So I think enthusiasm and actually talking the walk that you guys do was a big draw for me.
Yeah.
And you jumped right in, which is awesome. I really love the faces of the journey. I've been, you know,
oh my God,
reading
each
one of
the best.
Dude, yeah.
Just kind of explain that real quick for the listeners. What is the faces of the journey?
So first off, I blame that on you guys. before I really met you guys and got to know you guys in the Discord community, I've always been very passionate about my job, but it's been mainly kept to myself and people I work with. And I've always been kind of focused on the tech. And then I met you freaking guys, and all of a sudden I'm doing the happy hours and I'm writing stories about people. I don't even know who I am anymore.
Nah.
So
hopefully in a good way.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I'm here, man. I'm here.
Tim 2.0.
So the faces of the journey, what I wanted to do was I wanted to step away from the tech and really show and highlight people that are doing it. And I got into it thinking, you know, we were just going to write about people. And then as we wrote about people and the people we wrote about and the stories that are coming out of this is, I mean, I'll say I have had what I'll call the, if there is such a thing, the traditional path into IT. So getting to hear and see and write about all of these people and their stories just across the board is so cool. And it's been really rewarding for me too. And I really hope that people that we write about are getting something out of it as well.
So how are you doing that then? Like, do you have like a little phone call with them and kind of get their backstory? How do you do that?
I think the very first one that I did was with our buddy Gerard.
Yep.
And with him, I did a video call, and then I was talking with AJ, and I kind of wanted to streamline it a little more, and we ended up doing a template. So I send whoever we're writing about a template. They'll fill it out. They'll send some pictures so we can have that on the site as well. And then I'll write it up and send it back to them, make sure it's okay, and then publish it.
Hmm.
Nice.
So you're basically like interviewing people. Like, have you ever... Do you have a background in interview? Like, I don't think it's the easiest thing in the world to do, right?
It's not.
I'm not what you would call a people person all the time. So,
was this your first foray into like, you know, getting people's stories out of them?
Yeah, I'll say so. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Because you've done a hell of a job. It's
I appreciate that.
It seems I assume that, you know, you were a writer in college and you messed around. Same. And it's got you back into your writing passion, because it's just so good that it's... I really enjoy it.
No, I appreciate that. And I will say, as a person, I look for win-win situations whenever I can. So, yeah, we're writing about other people. We're getting their stories out there. But selfishly, it is helping me work on writing. So it's been a win-win.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those cool. are far and away the most popular articles on our website. Like, we post like something tech-related on Monday usually, right? Like, we'll have an article from Aaron's blog or my blog or another blogger in our community, in our Discord community, that wants to share an article with us. Or, you know, Andre, he's come to me and he's like, hey, I want to write about this. And so, you know, he's not like a blogger in his own site. He's a blogger for us, and he uses our site as his platform, which anybody's welcome to do, by the way. And so we got the tech article on Monday. We got the podcast release on Wednesday. And then most times on Friday, we'll do the Faces of the Journey. And you can clearly see in the stats, like, you know, I can go back through and just look like, oh, there's one.
That's the Tim spike, right?
I got to get back into it. It's been a while.
Hey, well, I like that some of the people you've interviewed have actually now turned around and written articles on the website too. That's like, it's almost like this, like a pyramid scheme, right? Where it's like, recruit five people to... No, but it is. And it's like, it's helping everybody, just like, you know, getting in the server being like, everybody start your blog. But like, you're doing it too. It's just like, people see themselves, maybe they normally wouldn't have, and they see themselves being written about. And it's like, I am somebody, you know?
Yeah.
So if you think you have like a good, like, reach out to Tim by all means. If you think you have like a really cool story or unique story, and honestly, it doesn't even... your story is unique. I'll just tell you straight up. I don't care who you are. Your story is unique. Just reach out to Tim, man. If you got something to say and you want the world to see it, then I'm sure he would love to write about you. I'm not volunteering him for work, but...
Oh, definitely.
I'm always just getting you to do more work for free. Pro bono, man.
So I want to change gears a second. I know, please. I've already been the overbearing guest, and I appreciate you guys putting up with me. But if you don't mind, I'd kind of like to turn the tables a little bit.
Sure.
And I'm such a goober, man. I took notes. I've been reading off my notes here. I shouldn't
have
given that away. So
is it like Mad Libs?
I have one question for each of you guys. If you don't mind, if we can jump into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll start with one of the millions of people on this planet who have a better beard than I do, Dan.
Oh, oh no. Wow. That's the first and only time he's going to hear that. Sorry,
that's,
Dan.
That's definitely true. So.
So, Dan, howdy.
Howdy, howdy.
You've obviously got your day job, right? Mm-hmm. And you're married. I think you've got at least one child, right?
Yep, one kid.
Okay.
Got a son.
One kid, and you're also a professional photographer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm gonna throw an Andy question at you.
Oh heck, here we go. What is it?
Andy knows.
Hey,
Andy's
knows
practically Andy's practically asking it for me. So what do you do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis to maintain some sort of balance in all the facets of your life?
So Okay, so we've had a couple of guests on here who have talked about how do they balance, and then we've also had in the Discord, we've had some people in Discord talk about how they balance their life, and one of them, he was talking about his wife. He basically gave like a free pass thing, right?
It was like a get out of jail free card. So she could be like, hey, you're not studying tonight. Yeah.
And I was like, dang, that's a good idea. You know, like, now I'm going to go ahead and go out there and say, like, I have not been studying like the past month or so. So there's that. But whenever I am doing that study path, I was like, you know what? I need to adopt that. But I also, so when I get off work roughly around 4:30 ish or so, and until pretty much 7 o'clock, that is my family time. So I block that out. I don't try to do anything other than family time stuff there.
Good for you. That's awesome.
So that's kind of the balance on the family side. And then my business, like photography and stuff, one of my partners, he is more in tune with like the social media stuff. So he kind of deals with that. So I don't have to deal with that too much. I'm more of the, like, I show up, shoot, edit, that kind of stuff. You know, I work on getting clients and stuff, but, so that's kind of the balance there. I don't have to do a whole lot of overhead, I guess you want to say, for that.
Okay.
And then work, I would, as much as I want to say I leave my work at work, that doesn't happen. I do take that home with me. So
if it's
like, I don't know, 9 o'clock or something like that, my wife goes to bed pretty early. So after she goes to bed, you know, I might tinker with some work stuff that needs to get done anyways. But I don't feel like I have to, right? It's just more, I just kind of want to work on it. So I don't know if that like answers your question or not.
No, it does. You sound like you have a plan, which is a lot better than my 2020 was.
Preach.
But yeah, so that's kind of how I balance that, I guess.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's shift to AJ.
Oh boy. I'm scared.
AJ, you had what I will call a pretty incredible 2020.
I will agree with you.
Dude, hold on, stop.
Yeah,
people always talk crap like I'm some like pompous jerk. And listen to this guy. He's like, tell me something I don't know, hey, bro.
Look at the scoreboard, man. AJ knocked it out of the
I know
bar.
He does. Yeah. But and I
look
never
on
expect
look on that
him
shelf
to be humble
about
it. Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
That was great.
It was good.
So I don't know if you guys know this or not, but AJ is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, we do now.
Daddy, so, AJ over there.
AJ,
is there another
what?
AJ on this podcast that I'm not aware of? That's a big deal.
You mean in addition to the fact that he created all this, Tim? Is that what you're
right? Like, yeah, that was no small feat.
This all exists because of him, and he kicked butt in 2020 with certs. But go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
So I think the guys just set your stage here. What would you say was your most memorable or favorite accomplishment or thing that happened to you in 2020? And keep in mind, you met me in 2020.
Ooh.
By far and away, the podcast.
Awesome.
You know, so much happened in 2020 that it's hard to, I don't know. It's really hard to like put into words like my full emotions for 2020. But 2020 for me will not be the year that it was a pandemic. It'll be the year that I met some amazing people. It'll be the year that we started a podcast. That it's the year that I finally got my CCNP. Like, so much happened personally, professionally. It was an epic year, and I will not disagree with anybody who says that. Now, a lot of stuff had to fall into the right places for that to happen. And, you know, there was definitely some blood, sweat, and tears. It was all very worth it. But, you know, my favorite thing is the podcast, you know, like going to these guys and saying, hey, I got this like harebrained idea, and not a single one of them, you know, batted an eyelash and said like, yeah, let's try this, you know, like,
and you're all still here.
Yeah. You know, here we are. This is going to be episode 31. We just hit 41,000 downloads. We're going very quickly towards 50K, and I'm super excited about that. Yeah. And then, you know, professionally, personally, like things are happening in the background because of the podcast that hopefully we get to talk about soon, but maybe not. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah.
Cliffhangers. No,
definitely. Definitely the podcast in 2020 was a crowning moment.
And let's not leave out, you got like 7 certs at least. I mean, you got 5 actually, Junipers, your CCMP, your DevNet associate, right? I mean, that's 7.
So if you count, like those are actual like certifications, right? But there's actually a number of other, if you work for a partner, you have to do all of these like salesy related certifications.
Okay.
Myself and Taylor are top in the company because between the two of us, we got 30 different certifications.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And you know, like some of these things are, you know, online, you know, self-paced video training, you got to take a quiz at the end and you get all these like different certs, but there's certs that count for something for the business. Like, because we went and did those, now the business qualifies for whatever.
Sure.
It's a necessary thing that we had to do. So, yeah, it we have our company-wide meeting this week and, you know, Taylor and I were highlighted during some of the
keynotes. Sweet. Well, I can imagine, dude. Yeah. Congratulations, bud.
So awesome.
That's insane.
I think, you know, AJ doesn't get enough credit, I think, like, publicly. Mm-hmm. So let's just do it right now. He started all of this.
It's not necessary.
Well, I know. That's
Tim asked the question, and I think it's...
Yeah. You know, he teed it up perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you've done everything, man. You started all this. Like, yeah, I mean, we're here with you, but like, how easy is that? Like, all I have to do is just annoy the hell out of people for now. And you did all the work, you know. You got the website going. I mean, you know, the Discord, like all the different ideas you've had. I mean, yeah, dude, hats off to you. And on top of that, doing stuff for yourself, and obviously you have a family as well too. So I don't want anybody out there to overshadow that.
Well, thank you.
Daddy AJ over here.
And there's a bigger and there's like a bigger life lesson in there, I think, for people. Like, 2020 was hell, but but that's not how you see it and frame it and experienced it. So there's something there, you know.
Oh,
you took 2020 and made it your B word.
Best friend.
Yeah. So that's a skill right there, I think. That
I want to be AJ when I grow up. So.
Yeah, I'm not growing up, so don't say that.
You're on to something there, Dan. All right, so we got 2 correct answers. I am keeping score.
Sweet.
So wait, are you? Please tell me that you're asking Andy and I a joint question that we can answer together.
No, I got special ones for both of you.
Oh, okay.
All right, Aaron.
Oh boy.
Aaron, I see you as someone who's very confident.
Okay.
And very sure of himself and in everything that you do. And that's a compliment.
Okay.
And that's mainly a compliment because you can do so without coming off as being arrogant. And that's a skill, brother.
Well, I don't know that everybody would agree with that. thank you, but...
okay. It's only my opinion that matters right now.
No, so. I appreciate that.
So you're lucky enough that you get an Andy question as well.
Sweet.
I am not always confident and sure of myself in what I do. So
yeah.
What's your secret and how you do it?
So... I think Andy's kind of like salivating at this too, because he probably knows the exact reason why I am how I am. So a little backstory here for just a half a second, because when we release these episodes, we're on a time delay, and Tim at this particular second has not heard the last episode. So there's a little bit of a dent in the armor, so to speak, that we kind of went into in our last episode, which if you listen to the podcast, you heard. But just to kind of let you in on what's going on, Tim. Yeah, like I moved a ton when I was a kid. I'm very introverted. I don't like being around people. I don't like crowds. I prefer to just sit right here by myself and interact with people online if I have to. Right. Which is strange when I tell people that, because they're like, oh man, you're always so good in crowds and like, you know, you talk to people. But it's just a skill that I've built up over years and years and years as like a defense mechanism, so that like I wouldn't be picked on. So
So
Dan's really good at just being like a quiet dude. Like, I'm not. So when I'm a quiet dude, for some strange reason through my entire life, like I was just getting picked on left and right. So to alleviate that, what I did was, A, I started being an a-hole, and B, I started being like a little more like offensive instead of defensive. So basically, okay. instead of getting made fun of, and I mean, I move schools. Andy and I talk about this quite frequently. It's like move schools like 12 times before I was even, you know, in high school. And it's like every time you put yourself in that situation, it's like interviewing, and it feels like interviewing to me. It's like, yep, new class, new teacher, new schoolmates. You got to figure out how you're going to impress the right people. If you like the show The Office,
yeah,
okay. This is great. So when the two branches merge, the one that had that Jim had went to for a bit, and then yeah. it closed down and they merged back. So they brought Andy with him, right? And they were asking him in the parking lot, you know, what are you going to do to fit in? And he's like, easy. Personality mimicking and being like over aggressive. But anyway, he goes in and he just like repeats, you know, he repeats everything like Michael says in the same voice. And he's like, I don't know about that Andy guy, but I love him. it is a skill, right? And it's very similar to interviewing, because you're explaining yourself and you only have so much time to do it. And like, you have to also be like relatable and all this other stuff. So long story short, it's a defense mechanism, and I just put my foot on the pedal when I need to and use it, right? So anything that happens bad to you in your life, you know, it's a weapon. It can hurt you or it can make you feel better. And I just choose most of the time to use it as a weapon to help myself. So there you go.
I really appreciate that answer. There's a lot of stuff there I didn't know about you. So thank you for sharing.
I should have said, put the scuba gear on, because it's about to get deep, bro. Yeah. So I may seem confident to everybody, but like, and I joked about it earlier, it's not that. It's, I guess, I don't know the other word for it. Like, I don't have a thesaurus out, but like just being socially intelligent, right?
Okay.
Like, being able to talk to anybody and feel like they're also just like you, you know, any celebrity, even like if you were talking to like Michael Jordan or something, it's easy to get like starstruck by that, but it's like, you're just a dude. We're all just people. You know what I mean? So there you go.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
End rant. Thank you for that, though.
Okay, Andy.
Oh,
I hope mine's easier than that one. Do I have to break my heart open?
I don't know why I'm setting it up like this. I feel like, and I love all you guys, but I feel like I relate the most to Andy. I've got a wonderful wife who I met
all
in college.
End the show episode.
There's only room for one of them.
So, and we've got four wonderful kids. So
four.
I relate to Andy with because Andy, you share everything that you have shared throughout this entire series. So first off, I appreciate that. Now, my question for you is around this. So you recently picked the guitar back up, right?
Yeah.
Been playing a little bit. So tell me, do you sit at home at night and jam out to the podcast theme music? And hold on, even if the answer is no, please just say it's a yes. I've got this mental image that I don't want to lose, man.
Andy wrote that. He played that.
Yeah, that's all him.
That wasn't supposed to come out because I'm collecting royalties and we're supposed to be nonprofit. Yes, Tim, that's all I do.
So I gave you kind of a BS question, but I did it on purpose. And I wanted to highlight the fact that you have an outlet and you are a hobby, if you will, because I think that's really important for us as any professional, whether it be IT or not, that you got to find a way to get away. And that's something that I don't think I do well. I can't really rattle off an actual true hobby that I have other than lifting 12-ounce cans near my face. But so I applaud you for that, and that's awesome, and keep doing it.
Wait, have you seen the pictures?
What?
Let's just say there's a ponytail involved. And you want to talk about shredding. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to speak for him. The day this gets released, he's going to tweet a picture. Please promise me you'll do that, Andy. Just one picture. Just one picture.
Of what?
Of you.
Of what?
In the,
you know,
era
he's talking about.
Of you being a rock star.
Sure.
Yes, thank you so much. You guys
perfect.
Are thank me later, folks.
Tim, I have a demo I did with a band in the 90s that I'm still too embarrassed to share with anybody, including this panel. Because I've heard I've heard Aaron's stuff, and it's much well, it's much better and more well produced than mine. So I refuse to put my crap out there and have people be like, wow, dude, that really sucks.
But you haven't heard the countless four track recordings from my garage with the one microphone hanging in the middle there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's kind of like the cert thing. It's like the tip of the iceberg, right?
I think you got to have a hobby, Tim, for at the very least mental health. I just happen to, over the years, I have a half a dozen hobbies that I would love to spend more time in. I love to fish. I love photography. I love the cycle. I love playing music. And I just have I have very little time. As you know, you got family, kids, career, podcasts. I haven't touched the guitar, you know, in a couple of weeks. But hobbies are a lifesaver sometimes. You know, it's very healthy.
Tim, you don't have any hobbies.
He told you the 12-ounce can.
I will say no.
He's 12-ounce can. Okay, I think we know what his hobbies are.
Well, yeah. But before that.
That's a good hobby. Technically, yeah. Hobby. So I, high school into college, I played rugby. So I did have that.
See?
There you go.
But yeah, since then, I stay fairly focused on work and lately studying. I mean, I try to put in close to 2 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Tour Encore. That's impressive.
Yeah. So
When do you do that? Morning, night?
So another pitfall from 2020 was that I forced myself to do it at night after I had a full day of work. Man. And I wasn't in the right frame of mind. It wasn't working for me. So there was one time just by chance, I wasn't going to get a chance to study that evening. So I said, well, how about I try this? I will go to bed right now. It was early and I'll get up at 5. So I've been on a pretty good string of Monday through Saturday. Unless I have some overnight maintenance with work, I won't push myself too hard. But I'm usually getting close to 5 to 6 days a week. I go from 5 a.m. to I try to get as close to like 7:15 as possible.
Nice.
And then start my day. And then I'm actually, by doing that, I'm actually spending more time in the evenings, like with my wife and hanging out than I was when I was being miserable at night, staying up late and doing studying. So it works out. It sucks getting up in the morning.
Are you a morning person? Like, is your brain working at 5 in the morning?
It is more than it is at 10 o'clock at night.
Right. Hmm. Yep. Because that's what I've been doing at nighttime. I'm up to like midnight most nights trying to study.
And I'm not knocking it, brother. You got to do whatever works for you.
It's a fool's errand. I'm exhausted. I'm not retaining stuff. I'm praying that the flashcards will work someday when I, because I'm just so tired at night, you know, so maybe I'll start getting up at 5.
See, I think that's something I'm going to have to try because I mean, I'm a night owl anyways, but I feel like I'm going to have to try doing that. Like just go to bed super early and get up go to bed early and then get up early. And try doing some studying and whatnot because I don't know, just
work
sometimes
exhausting.
It just doesn't I'm beat by that time
right
after work you're burnt and after kids and everything it's
definitely and I'm gonna go old school Andy on you so like I'm not gonna say how do you do it but so work gets in the way like I had a maintenance last night I was up till 12:30 I have a maintenance tonight when we get off here I'll be up till midnight I don't think I can get 5 hours of sleep and function tomorrow. Six, maybe. So, like, how much sleep do you need a night? What time are you going to bed? Because for me, I'm going to have to make a sacrifice at night, going to bed a little earlier so that I can hit that 5 a.m. What are your sleep needs? What's your kind of, when do you go to bed?
So, at a high level, what I'll start with is what I've been saying a lot lately is you got to start with what's important to you in life. Yeah. And you will, that's one thing that I've made a habit of not saying is, I will not say anymore that I don't have time for something because if something's important to you, you'll make the time.
Absolutely.
So what I'll cheat it, right? I'll say, well, I don't want to dedicate the time to that, so I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But as far as sleep goes, I try to get as close to 7 hours a night. I've been doing the Fitbit thing, so I usually range in between 6:45 and 7 hours a night.
So 10 p.m.
I go to bed. Right. It's before that. I'm usually in bed by 9:30 and I'm up at 5.
Nice. Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I might have to try that.
Yeah.
I don't
you
know
just
got to
find
work,
what works for you. It might be in the morning. It might be night. It might be middle of the day. You got to find what's important to you. And
if you have a couple maintenances at night, do you not study the next day in the morning?
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
But you'll try to study sometime that day, maybe later at night.
Yeah.
Because I find every time I get on a study roll, work will get busy. I'll be up nights and then I'm just whacked. And yeah, you know, a week or two goes by, and then I'm like, oh yeah, hell, I got to study again. So, and I'm not trying to offer as an excuse, but I think you got the key to getting, you know, sleep at 10, get up at 5, hit the books. I'd like to do that, but I'm going to be up till midnight tonight working. So I got to figure that out personally. But this isn't about me, Tim. This is your episode. So
no, I think you bring up a good point though, because we know that you always ask people because you're trying to get like the secret sauce, like what is successful for you. I think like through our episodes of you asking that question, what we've uncovered is like people that know themselves the best seem to be the best at it. So like. They wake up early because they're a morning person, and then they get after it, right? Yeah. Like, I can't listen to those Navy SEAL dudes telling me to get up at 4:30 and puke in a trash can. I'm like, I'm good, bro. Like, I'm not doing. I might stay up till 4:30. I'm not getting up at 4:30. You know what I mean? Like, that's I don't function like. But I know that about myself, just like you do, Andy. And so you just got to find time. And I think you're dead on, Tim, with the if it's important,
right?
You will find a time to do it. So Tim, give us. Please, if you will, since you were so eloquent with us and gave us all these amazing questions, please give us your closing thoughts. Put a bow on this bad boy for us. Tell it, like, what's one thing you want to leave the world with at the end of this episode?
I want to talk about community for a minute.
Okay.
So community to me doesn't have to be a physical thing, right? Community, in my mind, is a grouping of like-minded people that are taking care of each other, they're helping each other, they're just being generally cool to each other. And again, this is a message directed at the listeners of this show.
Yep.
The four hosts of this podcast have created exactly that. They have brought together this incredible grouping of people in the using the Discord community, it's all about the journey, that server as the platform. But you guys have brought all these people together, and not only that, but you're taking it a step further, and this is going to sound corny as hell, but I wholeheartedly believe it. You guys are changing people's lives. You've created this platform, and you're providing people tools. You're working with companies to do giveaways. I mean, Andy, this is the perfect example. You gifted a home lab to somebody that, because of the pandemic, had to completely uproot their life. What you guys are doing is so cool, and I thank you, and I don't have the authority to do this, but on the behalf of the community, I thank you. And I
do it all the time. It's okay.
You can speak on the community's behalf.
Yeah, I haven't been sued yet.
And I also congratulate you guys, because the things that you've accomplished in what I'll say is a relatively short period of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, was this thing even a thought a year ago?
No.
No.
I know maybe the podcast started up in like July.
Yep.
So that's incredible. So congratulations, guys. I'm happy to have met you guys and be part of this.
Likewise, dude. Look, it's a sum of its parts. I mean, we appreciate the sentiment, but like we're nothing without you either. So really, you know, it's like there's no brain here, right? We're all just acting together. We're just an awesome beehive.
Yeah. So you know what I mean? It's that teamwork thing. What's right?
Like there's no leaders, nobody's in charge. Like we're all just together getting it done, helping each other.
Totally.
It's kind of unique. I don't know if I've been involved in something like this before.
What's that phrase that AJ's always saying? People in glass houses sink ships. I know that's not it. It does. It's got something to do with the boat, though. Rising tide.
It's one of those tongue twisters.
Something with water ships. And boats and makes us good.
You messing with my water, John,
bro.
Yeah, John.
But Tim, seriously, dude, guys, thank you so much. This was incredible.
We appreciate you, dude. No. Trust us. You are why we all do this. Again, like it's nothing without you and the other folks. And I think that I hope when people hear this now, maybe they can approach you or us and, you know, maybe kind of try doing the blog thing or let Tim write about you or, you know, try it out. Maybe you never know. Basically all I'm going to say. But Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure, man. We appreciate you. more than you can ever imagine. I know that. You know that. We all hope, too, for the community, including yourself, that at some point we'll all be able to see each other in real life.
Oh, yeah.
What a concept, right? You know?
Yes. So many hugs I have to give.
So many hugs AJ has to give that we're all looking extremely forward to. We won't make him dress like Santa Claus.
Carl was talking about maybe a potential meetup in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh yeah, that's right next door to me. So
yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Glad you left me out of that one.
Okay, an East Coast meetup.
East Coast, right. There you go. For those of us over here. But yeah, I mean, eventually we'll all get together, but the point being, we're together now. We've been figuring it out. We're all working from home anyway for the most part, and if you're not, you at least know how to get on the internet because your job entails that. So we appreciate you getting on here, sharing your wisdom, lots of cool stuff, dude. Thank you, Flashcards, to have the plan. Like your story, I know it's hard sometimes to talk about yourself, but we appreciate all of that. So, final words, last and final.
When are you taking the encore?
Yeah, solidify it right now.
Damn it.
Nope, do it right now.
Accountability, go.
Pick a date.
No pressure.
All right, pick a month, Tim.
Andy, do that thing where you say, see ya.
No, that's me.
Oh, it's Aaron? Oh, man, I screwed it up.
No. But Andy likes it when I do it. I've done it
in his absence on episodes. I love it.
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
But where can we find you, Tim?
Yeah, where can we find you, Tim?
Social media is?
Where you at?
I know you got a site.
What's your Twitter handle?
Let's hear it.
He's impossible to find, let me tell you.
Yeah, I am. My Twitter handle is very unique. It's pretty cool. It's at Tim Bertino.
Nice.
That's B-E-R-T-I-N-O.
Yes, thank you. And I blog at netication.com, and I try to write on artofnetworkengineering.com.
Thank you again. We appreciate it. Thanks to those who listened. If you haven't yet, smash that bell icon like AJ tells you to every time. If this was lucky enough to make it on video, which I have a good feeling it's going to at this point, please make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel as well and catch all of the latest podcasts, as well as the notifications that a podcast is coming out every Wednesday from the Art of Network Engineering. On behalf of all of us, good evening. See ya!
Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at ArtOfNetEng. That's Art of N-E-T-E-N-G. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.